Good morning. This is Pam Jackson with Victory in Living Ministries. We are excited about the series of lessons that we're going to be going into in the next couple of weeks. We are going to begin to talk about the established heart. The Word of God tells us in Psalms 112 and 7 that we don't have to be afraid of evil tidings because our heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being established in the whole Lord. In the next verse, it tells us that if our heart is established and steady, that we will not be afraid. You know, those are good words for the day and age that we live in now. But before I get into the lessons, we're going to ask Ray to come and to bless us with a song of his choice. Ray?
Oh, there are people never receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken in their believing. When they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver, you keep on living in the way God wants you to. Don't get discouraged, just keep on giving. Soon it will come back to you. You've got to keep your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back on every way. You've got to keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back on every way. Measure, press down, check on the gather running over. Soon it's gonna come back on every way. Seeking the kingdom instead of working for your need. You gotta keep sharing the love of Jesus, 'cause you know growing comes from planting seeds. You gotta keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. You gotta keep your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Good measure, press down, shaking together, running over. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way.
Okay, let's get ready and go directly into the teaching of the established heart. At the end of the teaching, we'll be giving you our contact information. Get your pens and paper ready now as we begin the established heart.
Our base scripture is in Psalms 112, 1 through 8. And it reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemy." The fact that we have to have an established heart. We have to have our heart established on him and on his word. We have to have our heart established upon what the word of God says, to the point that we're not moved, we're fixed. If you're established, that means you are steady, steadfast. You're not going to be swayed. You're not going to be moved. We're going to be just like the man that built his house upon the rock. When the winds and the rain and the storm come, even though it blew hard against him, his house stood firm. The other man just said, well, I don't have time to dig deep, but he built a house. And when the rains come and the storms come and the winds blew, great was the fall of his house because he didn't have himself established on the rock. Now, over there in Psalms where he read it, it says, surely he shall not be moved forever. How many times have you been moved? Yeah, let me tell you a little secret about preachers and teachers. Some of you that are called know this. Okay, anytime you preach something or teach something, you get to live it the next week. Did y'all know that? You get to live it the next week because you don't dare stand up in front of God's children and give the word of God. And then think it don't apply to you. It applies to us even more so than it does to the people that we're giving it to. Okay, and then in verse 7 it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. We talked about that last week. And then we talked about the end times. You know, how that right now everybody's, they're all up in the air about what's going to happen and what's going to go on and are we going to make it or are we going to go under and what about my job and what about this and what about that and what about the other? Well, that's what I'm talking about. If you have established your heart upon the Word of God, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's going to take care of you, that He's got your life ordered, He's got every day ordered, and if you get up and you set your priorities according to His Word, and in line with His Word, you pray, you read your Bible, you meditate upon the Word of God, and then you, and someone said this at the ladies' Bible study, and it was so very good, then take time to listen to what He's got to tell you. See, so many times our mouth gets and God's just waiting to talk to us. But we won't shut up long enough to hear what He's trying to tell us. There's a scripture, I don't know exactly where it's at, over in Psalms, but I heard it in a song and it just struck me funny. Because it says, sit down, stand up, shut up. You know, that's now interpretation. But it was like God was telling them to do all these things all at once and then all of a sudden He just tells them to shut up and listen. And so many times we're like that. We just are kicking and are carrying on trying to get God to tell us something, but we won't ever shut up long enough to hear what He's trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where we're at, the church and the believers are at work today in the situation that we're living in, is if we'll just be calm, be established, then we're going to be fine because He's going to tell us what to do. And how many years have we quoted that the wealth of the wicked are laid up for the just? How many years have we quoted that? Why all of a sudden are we so afraid we're going to lose everything we got? Huh? Because if it was His promise yesterday, it's still His promise today. He said, let every man be a liar, but God is true. What He said is truth. And so it doesn't matter what comes or goes. His word is true. Okay. So He tells us in His word in Matthew, when He began to describe the end times, the first thing that He told us, He said, don't let yourself be troubled. Okay, that's a good word. Don't let yourself be troubled. See that you be not troubled. So we've got to remember that when time comes and times goes, don't be troubled. The gospel is good news. And people can take the word of God and they can beat themselves with it. Have you ever known anybody that took the word of God and beat themselves with it? I mean, literally, just you know, just tore themselves down with it. But the Word of God is good news. And I was talking to someone this week about it, and I said, you know, I said, always when you're reading, God's Word always gave a provision. Even in the Old Testament, He would tell the Israelites, if you will do this, I will do that. Okay, even if they were disobedient and ended up in trouble, after a length of time, God would say, if you will, I will. And He always was there to perform His word. He never left them out to dry, hung them out to dry, so to speak. You know, the world, if you displease them, they'll just hang you out to dry and say, go on down the road with you. But God is waiting there for us to listen to Him, to understand what His word says, so that we can be established and that we can go on and be victorious every day of our life. That was what was so real to me as I really began to study this again this week. He wants us to be victorious every day of our life. And I had to apologize to my son this week because Satan had attacked me and my health. And I began to, you know, well, I'm this old, and so I guess I'll have to do this and this. Because after all, that's what, you know, happens when you get there. And I told him, I said, son, I'm sorry. I said, I know better than that, and I've taught you better than that. And if I want to live to be what my profession has been, then I'm not going to accept those things.
Amen.
Because His word said that I am the healed. See, He said over in Isaiah, we are healed, or we were healed, and in Peter, we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
We are. That's now, present. So I just praise the Lord for it. And, you know, sometimes the Lord don't always make you go back and straighten up something, but sometimes it's good for your spiritual character to go back and straighten up something. And so if I taught him and raised him a certain way and all of a sudden he sees me not doing it, then it's my responsibility to go back and to say, look, this is what I taught you and I raised you, and that's the way I still believe. You forgive me because I've made it right with God. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, and then let's look at the Apostle Paul. Think about him for a minute. He was so, and we can be just like him, we can get so full of the Word of God and become so established, settled, and fixed and trusting in the Lord that we will not be moved forever. I thought, wow. Wow. And the Apostle Paul is a perfect example of a man with an established heart. If you look at the 8th chapter of Romans, it would tell you exactly what the psalmist David wrote and Jesus had said. In Romans 8:31-39 is a confession of a believer whose heart is established in God's word. When he wrote those words, now think about Paul. Okay, think about it for a minute. He was Saul. He had been raised in the old law. He knew all about the law. He knew about the old covenant. He knew all about the old covenant. He was a Jew from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. And that was why he was persecuting the Christians, because all of a sudden they had gotten a new revelation.
Amen.
Oh, a new revelation? Oh, my, my, my.
Come on.
You know, so he said, can't have none of that. So he began to persecute them and try to get rid of them, throw them in prison, killed them. But all of a sudden, God said, I think he'd make a real good servant of the Most High God. I think he would make a good servant for the kingdom of God that he has brought on the earth.
Amen.
He's bringing to the earth. So what did he do? Now, God just pulled on my heart as a child of 6 years old, and I went to the altar. How did God pull on your heart? Saul evidently didn't listen too well, so what did God do? He knocked him off of his horse and blinded his eyes and said, why do you kick against me so much, Saul? And then told Saul, now you go over here to the street called Straight, and I have a man named Barnabas who's going to take you in and take care of you and pray for you, and is going to teach you the ways that I want you to know. Now, you know, you kind of got a touchy situation here. You got the main man that was killing and putting in jail all the Christian people that had accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And all of a sudden he's coming and saying, I've been, the Holy Spirit knocked me off of my horse, and I'm blind, and I need a place to stay. Mm-hmm. And don't you know Barnabas had second thoughts? Mm-hmm. But did you know he was obedient, and he put him up, and then at the right time, there was prayer for his eyes, the shackles fell off of his eyes, he was a new man and received a new name.
Amen.
He became Paul. Okay, you know, we think, man, that's enough to have preached the rest of your life about. But Paul went through so very, very much more. And he went through everything that hell could throw at him. How many of you have been shipwrecked? Oh, you have. Spiritually or for real? Spiritually, okay. Well, Paul was physically shipwrecked, okay? And everything that you, even down to a snake biting him, attaching himself to his wrist. But what did Paul do? Did he fall over? Oh, my God, I've been bitten by a viper. I'm going to die. No, he just slung him off in the fire and went on. And the unbeliever said, oh, this man must be of God. See, so everything that hell could throw at him, Paul had been through it. And so therefore, when Satan came to Paul, he knew Paul was a dangerous foe. And that was why he fought him so hard. Okay, but the Apostle Paul did not give in. He stood fast and he proved that those things that the Word said would work. He proved that the authority of the believer is so. Now, I want you to think about the term authority of the believer. Okay. Everybody thinking about that? How many's a believer? Amen? Okay. When you become a believer, you received authority. But so many of us don't use the authority. We don't even know what our authority is. But Paul knew what his authority was, and he used it to the utmost. And we can, part of that authority is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that we can put on the whole armor of God, we can take the shield of faith, and we can quench all, A-L-L, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Paul lived through more than enough calamities for one time, and he still wrote, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And he goes, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, if you'll notice, it said, now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him that loved us. We had a real, real dear friend that told me about a dream that she had. And I think this is like we are so many times. Jesus was going through the jungle with her. Okay, and we think, man, that's neat. But she wasn't going ahead of Jesus, and she had the machete trying to clear the way so that Jesus could get through the jungle. And she was having a terrible time. She got tired, and all of a sudden she couldn't swing that machete anymore to tear down any more of the jungle bush. And Jesus said, give me the machete. I'm supposed to take you through. So, see, so we are conquerors, what? Through him. We want to be conquerors. But we forget that it's through him, by the authority that he has given us. That when that drops into your spirit and becomes a rhema to you, then that will just set you totally free and excited to know all we have to do is follow his examples, follow his directions, because it's through him and through his power that all these things come to pass. Okay. Now, we need to find out what the apostle learned about the New Testament, and then we can stand in the midst of Satan, in the midst of demons, amidst sickness, disease, and even death itself, and still say, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I am more than a conqueror in all these things. You know why Paul could say that? Even though he had his tribulations and his trials and his hard times, and he got bit by a snake and he got whipped, I forget how many times, within one stripe of death. But yet he still said, I am persuaded nothing can separate me from the love of God. You know why? He knew what the Word of God said. He believed what the Word of God said. He established himself on the Word, and he was able to stand victoriously, more than a conqueror. Like I said last week, you know, we may lose a battle now and then, but we've already won the war. You know, have you read the back of the book? Mm-hmm. See, you know, and I think the one of the Satan's favorite tactics now is some of us, you know, I lived through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. So now here we are in the 2000s. And, you know, the devil, he likes to come by and he says, well, when did you first hear Jesus was coming? Well, he hadn't come yet. Mm-hmm. You really think that's all really true? Or do you think that's just some religious hype? Now, none of y'all, he's never said that to any of y'all, has he? Mm-hmm. Huh? No, he said it to all of us at one time or another. And you got to reach down inside and you have to say, no. Because I know the experience that's in my spirit. I know when my spirit man was born again. I know when I received the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know when the anointing comes on me. And the devil hadn't got anything that'll match with it. And any time he tells me something, I automatically chalk it down. It's a lie or it's a distortion of a truth. Because he can't tell the truth if it's looking him in the face.
Amen.
Okay. So, now, we already talked about the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand. Okay. Now, if you think about the story of Jairus in Mark, the 5th chapter, he came to Jesus and his little girl was dying. And he asked Jesus to come and pray for his little girl. Well, Jesus had a lot of stuff going on. Huh? You know, it wasn't like Jesus just sat lounging, waiting for people to come and say, come pray for my daughter. You know, come pray for my daughter. And he'll go, oh, I will come. Huh? Now, you know, I've seen ministries like that. They just kind of, praise the Lord, we're not involved in one. But I've seen ministries like that they just kind of sit and wait. And then if they deem it worthy of their calling, then they will go. But Jesus had things going on all the time.
Amen.
I mean, he was constantly after doing his father's business. And in this story, at this time in Mark the 5th chapter, he was in a crowd of people. Okay? And he was ministering to these people. And Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus and asking to heal his little daughter. And in verse 23, Jairus made this remark. He said, the statement of faith, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and shall live. What was Jairus doing? He was believing in his heart that when Jesus laid his hands on his little girl, that she was going to be healed. He made that statement of faith. And so Jesus started to follow him to his house. Then, like I told you, Jesus had a lot of things going on. Then the little woman came up that had the issue of blood and had been sick for years and made a fake demand upon his ability to heal her. Now, did Jesus say, oh, I can't do that right now. I'm going to Jairus' house. Don't bother me. I'm busy. No. Jesus stopped to minister to the little woman. And while he was attending to her, guess what? Someone from Jairus' house came and said, don't bother Jesus any longer. Your little girl's dead. He was too slow. He should have gave you the attention first, but he didn't. So now your daughter's dead. And most of the people in the world today would have went, oh, God, if you'd have come when I asked you to, it wouldn't have happened. And, oh, God, I'm so mad at you. How dare you put me off and put someone ahead of me? Now, none of us ever reacted like that either. Have we? Oh, God! You know, it's not always concerning death, but it's other things, and God turns it a different direction than we think it ought to go. And, oh, God, if you'd have just... It looks like you took care of so-and-so before you... But, you know what? You know what Jesus said? Did Jesus change his confession? Did you see Jairus change his confession? That's what I meant. When the pressure was on, did you see Jairus change his confession? Did he say that? Did he say, I don't understand why it didn't work for me? No, that's not what we see. So when it comes to us, and we are about to be blessed, and something happens and we don't understand, we say what we believe. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe, I receive, according to Mark 11:24, and my faith says it's mine now. You know, that word now means that we bring it now. You may not see the actual evidence of it, but it is now. The circumstances arise and try to prove that there is no way for us to receive what we're believing for. How many's been there? I can't tell you how many times I've been there. Okay. At that point, we either talk the word or keep your mouth shut. Did you hear that? Talk the word or keep your mouth shut. And that keeping the mouth shut can be real hard. If you do not talk the word, then whatever you do say will negate the prayer you pray.
This is a good time to break into the teaching and remind you that it is true that watch the words that you speak. The words of your mouth is life or death. It can bring past the things that you've been believing for, or it can negate those prayers. Be sure and tune in next week for the next installment of The Established Heart. If you need to get in touch with us, you can write us at Victory in Living Ministries, 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Or look us up on the web at victoryinlivingministries.org. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
Keep on working, seeking the kingdom, instead of working for your need. You gotta keep sharing the love of Jesus, 'cause you know growing comes from planting seeds. You gotta keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. You gotta keep casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Good measure pressed down, shaking together, running over. Soon it's gonna come back home on every way.